You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from 90s Supervillain Hut, come on down and get your collection of specialized 90s supervillains at super discounted prices. That's right, we have Spatula Man, Bam, Automatopoeia Guy, don't forget Lawnmower Woman, all this and more over at Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. Use the code RAMPOD for 20% off your next episode.
That's right. Always remember to use the promo code. Not only does it give you a discount, but it also helps support the creators of whatever content you're using.
90s Supervillain Hut.
That's right. Welcome to Interdimensional RSS. I'm Travis.
And I am Brandon. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show where we talk all about Rick and Morty, especially when it is in current season form. We have
especially when the show's on and there's new content to talk about.
Especially. So there's a few ways you can get a hold of us. I don't know if you know this, Travis. We've talked about it before briefly, but you can get a hold of us over at Twitter still while it's still up. Looks like Elon, he's reshaping that organization. He's doing great things with it. Free speech is finally back now that
it's back, baby,
is back on board.
I still don't use my Twitter.
At Rick and Morty Pod, we're over there. Facebook.com/Rick and Morty Podcast. You know, look, he's doing a great job over there at Facebook too. I don't want to shun him.
The Zuck,
you know, Zuck and Musk, they go way back. They're college buddies.
Yeah, Musk Zuck.
Yep. Speaking of Zuck Muck,
what they call them? It's their celebrity couple name.
Zuck Muck.
Zusk.
Zusk. Yeah. Mall Zusk. That's when they combine with a snail. Instagram, Rick and Morty Podcast. Email, Rick and Morty Podcast @gmail.com. Over at Reddit, you can find our subreddit, rickandmorty.reddit.com. We don't interact much there, but it is there. And we do post episodes every time one gets released. The official subreddit, Rick and Morty, rickandmorty.reddit.com. Website, rickandmortypod.com. You can go there for all our episodes. If you don't subscribe to this, that's fun. Sometimes we post articles, but never really. And we are, of course, streaming live, twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. And we are post show over on youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. For if you are you're listening to this over on Spotify or whatever, and you're like, I want to see what they look like, but I don't want to go to Twitch for it. Go to YouTube. The episode will be there. It'll be there, Travis. I know it will be.
Like 9 times out of 10, I post it.
Yeah, unless there's an interview with Sarah Chalk and Chris Parnell.
And they explicitly say, no video.
No
cameras.
Don't do it. And finally, if you want to support this show, there is a few ways you can do that. One, send us a review over whichever app has reviews and just say, hey, I support you. Just
go to Amazon, leave a review on a random product, but hey, talk about this podcast.
Hey, comma, I support you. Sincerely, Rick and Morty podcast fan. You can also go to Patreon if you want to support us monetarily. Patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Appreciate all the patrons that are currently there and all those patrons who have left and who will soon be supporting us monetarily. Anyways, okay, that's it. That's it for those.
You did a great job. Good job, Brandon. Round of applause. Yay,
I never do it. Yeah. Every time we start a new episode, I'm like, I'm gonna hop in there. I'm gonna do the social media. Unless I'm busy and I get distracted by something else. And this time I didn't get distracted by anything else. I was focused, super focused.
Just locked in. Perfect execution. Well, I mean, we do have quite an episode to discuss. I don't know, any random things you want to talk about before, or did you just read the Twitch chat from I just, when I was talking?
I just got caught up on the Twitch chat.
Good. Well, in that case, let's start with our very first segment, which is and forever will be semi-pertinent news.
It's a semi-pertinent news time for Brandon and Travis here on Interdimensional RSS. The first bit of semi-pertinent news, Travis, is brought to us by you. What is this?
Yeah, every week when we have a new episode, I go out and Google Rick and Morty news. And most weeks, there's not much to report. But in a little bit of merchandise collaboration news, we have a new team up between Rick and Morty and the good folks at Igloo Coolers. That's right. You can get now branded Rick and Morty Igloo Cooler stuff. You can get the classic Playmate 7-quart cooler. This is like the one with a button on the side and the top kind of like rolls over. It holds 6 cans of your favorite beverage. But this cooler is dressed up to look like a Meeseeks box. So there's like Meeseeks boxes on the side and there's a Meeseeks on the top. They printed some stickers is what they did. and then they put them on a cooler. That's an okay product. That's pretty cool. They also sell a Riggedy Wrecked Coolmate. This is a $24 like can koozie for your cans, which I don't know. I've never used Igloo's can koozies, but I mean, seems cool. The last item that I find interesting is the Rick and Morty Pickle Rick Sling.
Yes. What is that? Tell me about that, because I saw that and I was like, is this for posters? What is it? What is it exactly?
This is a cooler on the go, right? I've got some pictures up for our video friends. So it looks like a Pickle Rick, right? You know what Pickle Rick looks like. It has an adjustable strap, but it is an insulated compartment that holds 6 cans, right? So you unzip it and then you stack the cans inside of it, and then you can zip it back up and then just sling it over your shoulder. And you got a little Pickle Rick sling that you can take with you and keep your beverages nice and cool. That's the news, folks.
That'll be
Rick. Get your Rick and Morty merch. Igloo, if you'd like to reach out to us and send us any of these products to test live on the program, happy to do so.
I might just reach out to Igloo and be like, hey, we are the preeminent Rick and Morty podcast. We don't have as many listeners as some of the other ones out there, but we are the preeminent one.
But the unofficial Rick and Morty
podcast. Please send us a product just so we can test it out. I'm going to go to the Hollywood Bowl, and I might go to SoFi Stadium to watch the Chargers and Dolphins play. So if I can sneak in some, they're like, hey, is that a koozie sling? You're like, no, it's just
a giant pickle.
It's just, I like carrying this pickle around just to get some bruises.
It's an umbrella. They're like, sir, we ran it through the metal detector. That is not an umbrella.
Sir, we're not letting you in just for saying, emphasizing the in
umbrella.
It's an umbrella.
Interesting fact. They have really sophisticated metal detectors at Disney World. And you just walk through them and then it like can tell where metal is on your body and stuff. And so if you walk through and there's like nothing on you, they just let you keep walking. But they tell you if you have an umbrella to hold it out in front of you as you walk through. So you're like, on a rainy day, people are just marching through this thing with like like an umbrella held out right in front of them. I don't know. I thought that was really interesting.
Maybe
anyway,
it's like Mary Poppins thing. You know, they're sticking with that Mary Poppins theme, and they're like, yeah. You love Mary Poppins. Your favorite, probably your favorite show. You're looking for something, and I'm trying to buy time, but really, it's so uninteresting.
I think
to
it's
watch
on my
you.
Desk at work. So. You mentioned the Chargers. Let's see, Zach Moe in the chat was disgruntled because he thought you might be a Chargers fan, but no, you're not a Chargers fan. You're a Dolphins fan. I'm a Chargers fan.
Dolphins, woo! Yeah. Head of the division, second place. Until we play the Chargers, maybe.
It's time for an interdimensional RSS semi-pertinent sports break brought to you by Igloo Coolers.
Our teams won, other teams lost. That's been the sports break.
Sports. Okay, let's move on. You brought up an interesting point with the Igloo Cooler thing. yearly we do an annual gift guide. Well, I guess that's redundant for me to say yearly we do an annual one.
That's fine. Nobody noticed it.
I'm glad I caught myself before I pointed it out to anybody. Anyway, we do an annual yearly gift guide for Rick and Morty gifts, and we haven't done one this year. And we need to do one. We need to do one soon. But there's
two
more.
Cyber Monday. The gifts are out there for getting. Go capitalism. Spend that money.
If we're gonna do that, yeah. We have to do it soon because
gotta do it soon.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll put a few brain cells against it and make that semi-perts for next week.
Okay.
Because we're still gonna have an episode.
Okay.
But not a lot of news is rolling out.
Deal.
So maybe we'll do a condensed gift guide for those last minute shoppers.
Deal. Deal. You sold me on this Cyber Monday. Okay. Moving on. Reddit post of the week. Last week, we're all in a tizzy, all super excited about how successful my post was over on Reddit. This week, I'm not going to do that again. Even though my posts are very, very successful, everybody says they're the best posts. I'm going to go ahead and give it credit to somebody else this week. This week is MRF 1982. Great year to be alive, if you know what I'm saying.
It's all right. It's a year early, if you ask me.
They have a post entitled birdperson.lol, and it is a picture.
LMAO, not lol.
Oh, sorry. Well, you know, I say lol, you say tomato. It is what it is.
I do say that.
It is a picture of Hawkman from the DC film Black Adam. And there's a subtitle under there. I like how they made the CGI on Bird Person's wings. Very neat and stylish. Anyways, 7,000 upvotes, 317,000 total views, and 97% upvote. Congratulations, MRF 1982.
I gotta say, my favorite type of Reddit post is the screenshot of a Facebook post. Because it really brings everything full circle.
It really is.
Almost as good as seeing a TikTok on Instagram Reels. It's really the highest form of art.
The one post of Reddit that I'm probably taking a stance on here and now. You can quote me on this. Is I will.
You are being recorded.
if there is a post on the Rick and Morty subreddit and it's just taking the video that was posted somewhere else and you're posting it in the subreddit and then you're farming that sweet, sweet karma. I'm not giving you credit here on this show.
No, no upvotes from Barnyard.
And we have at least 5 listeners on this show. So that will affect your bottom line. Your bottom karma line.
That's right. That's right. Happy cake day. All right, moving on. There we have some sad news, really. The end of an era, if you will. Normally, this is when I would half-ass sing a little ditty for the Dan Harmon Social Media Minute, formerly known as Dan Harmon's Tweet of the Week. But right. It seems that Dan is now 3, almost 4 weeks without an update on his Instagram. I'm not seeing anything in the stories, no posts to be had. So for now, and until such a time as he decides to become active on social media again, we don't have a social media minute anymore. So I toss it over to you, Unity. If you have an idea for something that you would like to see featured here in this block, great. If you'd like us to shut up and get right into the main thing.
That's too bad.
That's fine too.
We're gonna fill space.
We can do that. But yeah, so no social media minute. Love to hear your ideas if you have anything. Tweet at us or send us it on Instagram at Rick and Morty Pod. But that is gonna do it for semi-pertinent news. If you see a semi-pertinent story that you think we should cover, feel free to send it our way. And without any further ado, because Brandon's got his finger on the button. Let's get right into the main thing.
Ha! That's right. It's the main thing. By the way, GarageBand does all that stuff automatically. And I just put in the notes.
It's a wonder it took you so long to get those it's, put together.
It's a wonder.
Was that your World Cup inspired main thing?
Yeah. Well, I looked for the Vuvuzela, but about 8 years too late. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, here we are at the main
sports
thing.
Break World Cup updates.
No. Brr. U.S. versus Iran tomorrow. We are talking
Iran so far away.
We are talking about the latest episode, season 6, episode 8. Analyze Piss. Originally aired 11/27/2022. That's November 27th. Written by James Siciliano, somebody that we're probably best friends with at this point in time.
Practically besties.
He liked my Roy mask in the background. Directed by Phil Mark Sagadraka. Apologies, man, if I messed up your name. I should have asked you ahead of time. But anyways, follow him on Twitter at Phil Mark. But anyways, directed by him, guest stars Will Forte, another SNL alum.
Yes.
Our synopsis for this episode, haters gonna hate, bruh. But the real synopsis is as such. Travis, go ahead, take it away.
What did you write? Let's see. Funny and random characters start popping up more and more, and Rick is exhausted from having to deal with them. There you go, our synopsis. So very interesting episode aired last night. Obviously, the title, Analyze Piss, a 1999 movie reference to Analyze This, starring Robert De Niro and Billy Crystal as a therapist for an insecure mob boss.
Have you ever seen
Mind
that movie?
Have I seen that movie? I don't think I have seen that movie.
But you know what it's about.
Yeah. No, I saw the trailer in 1999.
Yeah. And they came out with a sequel. Analyze That, I think, was the sequel's name.
Yeah. That was back when they were just churning out De Niro sequels like every 6 months. They're like, let's do another Meet the Fockers.
That's right.
Like, yeah. De Niro's literally just printing money. Like the studio.
You know, a sequel to this episode would either be Analyze Crap or Analyze Shat, right? Look.
Yeah, we'd have to figure out what standards and practices would let them get away with.
Yeah. Anyways, go ahead and take my idea. All the people who work on the show.
Yeah, go ahead, Siciliano. We know you listen. Just take all the good ideas. Mind you, another fun fact in our mid-season trailer review, we predicted that clips from this episode would probably be from the Analyze Piss episode. And sure enough, the return of Dr. Wong, everyone's favorite therapist, voiced by Susan Sarandon.
You got it.
I can't believe I nailed a celebrity's name on the first try. Some therapy involved. What were your initial thoughts on the episode when you watched it, Brandon?
I'm still in shock that we got at least one scene from one episode title correct. Let's talk about it. I guess I'm going to come at this in two different ways. Upon first watch and then upon rewatch. Because I feel like those are different experiences. For me anyway. Your mileage may vary how different it was. But so the first watch, like cracking up about Jerry defending the honor of Summer and beating the piss out of Piss Man, and Piss Master, sorry. And sorry, those related to Piss Master. mess up Phil Mark's name. Anyway, it's whatever. And Jerry getting that big W. I remember like sending you a message like, good. And the season of Jerry continues, right?
Yeah.
And then getting through that, there's lots of funny stuff. Very, I don't want to say sad, but it gets serious. It takes a somber turn, And then it leads us into the end of the episode, which is like this kind of redemption kind of story for Rick in a certain way, because he's going back to therapy, which, you know, seeing Dr. Wong is great. Seeing Rick accept therapy and come so far from the Pickle Rick episode where we first meet that character was so cool to see. It just like, I'm an advocate for therapy, even though I don't do it all the time.
Yeah. Well, and you talk about redemption and you talk about sort of characters turning over a new leaf or it was really interesting to sort of see Rick's arc through this episode and how far he's come from early seasons of Rick and Morty. I don't know. We have really introspective episodes in previous seasons where Rick is trying to find himself, figure out where he fits within the Smith family, where he fits in the universe. And this was really interesting because while I don't necessarily think of Rick and Morty as a villain of the week type show, there's definitely plenty of characters in the history of the show that are random and come out of nowhere that have really kooky names or characteristics. Nimbus really kind of being one of them, and a fan favorite. And so to take some more or less throwaway versions of that and show what would happen if Rick didn't do what he does naturally, which is just to engage in the conflict or express his superiority, to punch down, but to just ignore them and let somebody else deal with it, I think was a really interesting take on it. And it gave Rick the space to explore another possibility or actually invest in someone. And he turns out kind of doing the right thing for once, which is really interesting to see.
Well, you say that about the, like, the villain of the week type thing. Way back when we did, like, Blood Dome Battle League, and when we had the idea for even the video games, and that was like our 15th episode of this podcast. And so, like, season 3 was just about to start or had just started. Even then, like, there were enough characters that you can, like, have these rivalries with Rick. You have the simulation folks. You have Slow Mobius. Even it was like just showing up at the party. The devil. The devil was there. You have like a bunch of characters even from season 1 going into season 3. I had a whole list of them and I dropped them. They all just blanked out of nowhere. But there was
he's definitely had a wide variety of people that he's fought against. And even like when you go back to Blood Dome Battle League, it wasn't necessarily all people that were out to get Rick, because we included characters like Meeseeks and other things like that, which even Mr. Poopy Butthole, you know, like there's definitely some classic characters and characters that maybe would have been throwaways if they weren't embraced by fans so much and then talked about and then ultimately brought back. I don't think anybody's going to be like posting a ton on the subreddit about Cookie Magneto, right? Like he's not endearing enough he was definitely a throwaway character, but
you have the Vindicator still, you have from the casino episode, you have, you know, like Rick took him out, but he was still there. There's a bunch of examples that of people that he killed that gave him shit for like
one week at a time. He's done it for 6 seasons now.
I forget kind of where what your initial point was at was, but I think that him taking the story leading him to looking at like the behind the scenes of one of those characters that was against him allows us to be kind of like, okay, you know, we kind of laugh at Rick and like him taking out these random ass characters, but then like going behind the scenes and like humanizing him a little bit and for him to humanize them a little bit more, I think gets us to the point where, yeah, like they want attention. They want something to prove. And, you know, him being the smartest person in the universe, that's something to prove, right? Take him out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested to see if there's longevity past this episode, or if this is just a throwaway bit of character development for Rick. Like if he, continues on this path, or he just kind of goes back to being, you know, standard Rick. But his personality has definitely evolved over the course of the show. He still has moments of, you know, classic, just, you know, doing whatever he wants. But in terms of this wasn't just sort of like a redemption story for Rick. Really, it started off with what and you mentioned it a little bit before, what seemed like Jerry was really going to be the character that sort of gets his day in the sun. The first half of the show is really about Jerry standing up for himself, standing up for his family, being willing to fight his own battles, which almost didn't happen. And I think it's a really subtle clip, but when he first goes out to fight Pissmaster, Beth goes out there to try and help him, and Morty like puts his hand up. He's like, no, like, let this happen. And I think it's really interesting, like, it's very quick, but the fact that Beth could have come in and stepped in and been the one to, I don't know, handle the situation, but letting Jerry get his ass kicked for a little bit, but ultimately win that fight and stand up for his family, gets him into this whole league of, you know, orbs or whatever, and gives him the opportunity to be a hero, even though he is still Jerry and doesn't always make the best decisions. But yeah, for a while, it seems like, all right, Jerry is, Jerry's gonna finally, you know, be the hero, be the star. And he ultimately ends up screwing it up in a way that only Jerry can.
Yeah. But, you know, like his downfall of being a flamingo dad, it wasn't entirely his fault, right? Like it's because he found out that Rick was Pissmaster, and then his association with Rick, Pissmaster 2, we'll say Pissmaster 2. His association with Rick is when the orb, damn it, what is it called? Like the orbsmanship or something like that.
The galactic orb ship.
Yeah, the galactic orb ship. Orb ship. Ugh, that's hard. Like they came down like, whoa, I don't know what's going on here, but you're done with this orb. You turned shit heel and then changed it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, like they're, go out to Reddit, some of those discussions, some people are like, I mean, Jerry wasn't entirely wrong to want, like, to not trust this Pissmaster, who he thought was Eugene Pissmaster, really, Eugene Piss. And so, like, he failed, but he failed in a non-Jerry way. Like, he failed in, like, a fairly human, he has regular insecurities. He doesn't trust this person because this person made sexualized remarks to his daughter, and like why would I put these things, you know, my feelings about this to the side? I think like the big brain guy said, like, this is your chance to, you know, see if you can put your pettiness aside. You know, as a father, I don't know how much of that is pettiness. Like, no,
yeah,
F that person.
I think there's an aspect of Jerry's personality that is very much he leads with his heart and not with his head, which is why he often makes mistakes or doesn't think his way through situations very well and makes him look like a bumbling idiot. But for the most part, Jerry's a pretty passionate dude about things. He loves holiday traditions, right? He loves the idea of his family being together in a quote unquote normal way, right? But it's also that passion for defending his family and defending their honor that causes him to do these things. And so instead of thinking things through at the point where they're offering an orb to Pissmaster, he's again passionate about that same level of right and wrong, right? And he hasn't changed his feelings about it. So even though they're giving his head an opportunity to catch up and be like, all right, think this through, he's doing a good thing now. He's still tied to that original, you know, emotion from earlier in the episode.
Yeah. Okay. I saw a comment from Nikki Chuck in the chat. I want to save that note for something later in the conversation, but remind me later, Travis. Okay. So talking about everybody loving a redemption story, they talk about it in the orb ship. Yeah, everybody loves a redemption story. So going to Pissmaster, Pissmaster himself did not get a redemption story. It was an avatar situation, similar to what Summer kind of mentioned later at the end of the episode. But where Rick is redeeming Pissmaster, when his daughter says, "That's my fucking dad," which is very reminiscent, or an exact quote of what
word for word exactly what Summer says when Jerry is in his moment of triumph after defeating Pissmaster. Yeah.
And so that's a tough one. That's a weird kind of conversation to have, because it's not that person is dead. So
it taps into an underlying theme within this episode, which is the idea of how you're perceived by the public, right? And a lot of the spin up early on with Jerry's rise to fame, his being viral, they're talking about the BuzzFeed articles. They're talking about how many times the videos are being shared. They're talking about his social media following, right? And that is sort of his rise to power, his rise to greatness, is how he's perceived as Flamingo Dad. And the parallel of that is as Rick starts to put on the piss suit, right, and do all of these noble acts in the name of Pissmaster, it in a way redeems the public opinion of Pissmaster, and even within his family, right? Like, they think highly, and that's what's in the suicide note, right? Is he wanted to prove people wrong. They just wanted to see him fail, and he wanted to show people that he couldn't fail, right? He never does that himself, but the public opinion of him is redeemed because of Rick's actions. And so I at the end of the day, outside of the Smith household, nobody else really knows that it's not Pissmaster doing all these things. And I don't know. I think that's an interesting critique on how we're perceived and how that opinion online can affect your legacy, I guess.
And to mirror that, when Pissmaster, the idea of Pissmaster, same thing with like the Dark Knight, right? The Dark Knight Rises, which that plot being stolen directly from that, to be like, yeah, Batman is now a symbol of hope, and he sacrificed himself for the greater good. Same thing for Pissmaster. Pissmaster, the real Eugene Piss, will never experience that, right? He'll never understand that or know that his name has been redeemed in the eyes of his family and his daughter. Similarly, what Rick's kind of failure at the end of the episode is, he too should have, like, he could have had that. He could have had that if he had just been silent, if he had kept his sacrifice, which is what Summer pointed out, if he had kept his sacrifice, didn't say it to anybody, and like knew that he did the right thing and that was good to him. But so this kind of brings us to...
But he blew off that therapy session with Dr. Wong.
He blew it off. What I mean, that brings me to this kind of point of, There are two kind of points. One is this concept of true altruism, and then like virtue signaling and moral grandstanding, which are kind of related to each other. But like altruism, the whole idea that like you're doing good for the world, that is not is selfish in any way. Like you're doing it purely for others. Like the concept of there being a true altruism, like there is always a selfishness, even like in every good act that we do, because we're doing good things because it makes us feel good about ourselves. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's truth in that for sure. Yeah.
And Rick, he does something good because it makes him feel good. In the latter half of the episode.
But is that necessarily bad if you feel good about helping other people? Like
No. But it's not. But where it kind of comes into maybe like the negative part of what he does is he tries to put on that extra little bit, that bragging to, I don't know if it's bragging. You can argue what you think it is. But when he tells Morty, like, Morty, I have to tell somebody about this. And he tells Morty about all the stuff that, you know, about the suicide and all that stuff, right? And in him bragging about it, it turns into like, look at me, look at the good thing I did.
I think you could be right there. And I also think there's a little bit of just like he chose to not tell Jerry about the suicide for Jerry's own good, right? He wanted, if he had said at this by the side of the Mitsubishi space rocket or whatever it was called, I haven't been Pissmaster the whole time. I only took over after he killed himself because of you. Like, he doesn't say that because of what he thinks it will do to Jerry, right? And even in that, I think is an honorable act and something that he does more or less selflessly. Mm-hmm. But he's now carrying like multiple secrets, right? And the person he's closest with in the world is Morty. And so I think he would share that with Morty as like a, all right, here's what's really going on. Like, I didn't say these things, but Morty doesn't buy into the secret, right? He's like, no, that's messed up. Now I have to carry this burden too. I'm just going to tell them. And it ends up kind of making the wheels fall off of everything else.
Yeah. And I want to say this. I don't think even in my kind of interpretation of it, that is a wholly negative thing, right? Because Rick when we're working on ourselves, when we're trying to improve ourselves and we're becoming better people as we grow older and we're learning lessons and learning how much of a piece of shit we were when we were in teens and in the 20s and so on and so forth, like there's a little part of us that like, are we doing the right thing? That little bit of external validation. And so even in my interpretation of it, like I don't think it's a purely negative thing for Rick to like want a little bit of acknowledgement there and like to put it out there for some acknowledgement's sake. What I think is where the intersection of negativity ends up happening is by telling Morty, saying like, hey, your dad, not he didn't say it like this, but like your dad is the reason that Pissmaster killed himself. He's dead. That's why I had to take over the thing. He blamed it specifically on your dad.
In writing, here's the note.
Yeah. Here's the note. And it was like the concept of trauma dumping is put out there of like I have trauma. I need to share it with somebody. I'm gonna put it on somebody without regard to like, is that good for that person that I'm putting that extra trauma on? Yeah. And like in the comments of Reddit, they're like, why he has a therapist, like that's the person that you should be be having these conversations. He's
still working on that relationship, though. It's not 100% there. So that is a really good point.
He's working on himself, yeah. Right? And that's the whole thing, is he's learning lessons. That is a lesson that he needs to learn, is like, who do I talk to? Who do I confide in? Who's my audience?
Do I confide this with my grandson, or do I call up Dr. Wong?
Right.
Or wait till our next session. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Well, we talked about some really, really happy things. So let's talk about some unhappy things. So all this is, like, we alluded to it. We talked about the note, all that type of stuff. So Eugene Piss, Rick goes to the bar. Once he realizes, oh, I can just ignore all these people and they'll just go do their own thing. And he's in the bar. He's like, I'm over it. Or what is it?
I'm out.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he hears a bartender talking to some women at the bar, and they're saying, like, oh God, what a piece of shit. Like, what other kind of you huge pieces of shit are out there? Like, blah, 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 which resonates with Rick. And so he decides to get a six pack and go over to see Mr. Piss himself. And that's where we see all the suicide stuff. And this was the first episode in my memory, I think, that has ever happened.
I believe it's the only episode that's had the warning, the content warning.
Yeah.
Which doesn't air when you download it off of iTunes. It's you are on your own when you purchase the episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so had a content warning at the beginning. My first assumption was it was going to be kind of like autoerotic assimilation, or like it would be directed on towards Rick, because we knew it was a therapy episode. And so I don't think I was fully tracking, even when he like went to the door, that was going to be a thing that happened.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say, like, I respect how serious they treated the material, that they didn't treat it like a joke, and that it led to this serious moment in the middle episode, leading to like Rick actually having some kind of growth as a character in his personality. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I think it was done very well for a show like Rick and Morty to treat it so seriously, and it was really a touching sequence, I think, throughout, from the time he's trying to bring him back and heal him, like, as easily as he was able to heal Jerry's wounds at the beginning of the episode. And when that's not successful, there's a moment where he's ready to just dip out. And like, there's a knock on the door, the daughter's at the door, and he's got the portal up, ready to leave that situation behind. And when she mentions Pissmaster being her dad is when he stops. And the empathy that we rarely see in Rick comes forward. And I wonder if there's a moment where he thinks about his daughter, right? If Beth is standing outside that door, how would he want someone to respond? So he puts on the helmet. He says a few words to comfort her. And
it still sounds like you're going to do a bad thing.
Is what
she says.
Yeah. because at that point he's not committed to a plan of, you know, taking up the mantle of Pissmaster or anything like that. He's just trying to smooth out the situation. And you know, that's not necessarily what Rick does all the time. So, without a lot of explosions or death. So, I thought it was a really interesting sequence. And then when he goes back and reads the note and thinks about, well, you know, maybe I could fix this for, you know, that public perception again, but also maybe give that girl out there an idea of her father that she wanted to have otherwise. So really, yeah, an interesting and different side of Rick that is pretty interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something in my head that I keep having like go in and come back out, and I'm trying to put it into words, and I get like it's there, and I keep forgetting it. Shit. Keep talking, and I'll interrupt you when I'm ready to do it.
Well, I don't have too much more to speak on the subject, so unless you want to talk about virtue signaling.
No, let's move on. I'll remember it in a little bit, but
it'll be the middle of favorite bits and be like, ah,
oh, I remember what it is now. There it is. I'm messing with my hair. That's what it is. The hair is the source of my focus.
It's your sticky orb.
And I already forgot what I was going to say. So, that's which isn't wholly untrue. I should have just said it, when I said it. But yeah, it's shit. Damn it. I did forget it. Oh, I remember now. Okay. It's when I talked about it at the very, very start of this, right? Was like, I watched it the first time, cracking up when he's getting the shit kicked out of him, right? Yeah. And like, and they're filming it. They're watching it. Everyone's laughing at the bar. Everyone's laughing, right? And just cracking up at how pathetic he is. And like, he's like crying when he's like apologizing to Summer and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And like, it's hilarious the first time you watch it. And then
I felt like it went a little too long the first time I watched it, but there's definitely moments where I was laughing through it more so the first time than the second.
We are the viewers in that moment, basically watching a TikTok or Instagram video of this guy getting the shit kicked out of him, and we're laughing about it, right? However long you laugh about it, that's not the point. Yeah. But when you rewatch it, and I said it to you, I said it to a few people, like, it hits differently.
Yeah.
Pun intended, fully intended. Like, when you watch that scene, knowing that dude's fate, what that dude ends up doing, like, I felt bad for this character that is not a real character. Yeah. Like, I felt bad for me, like, shit, like, well, you're like, I'm an asshole for thinking that's funny in that situation.
And like, even more tragic to me is the line that he says just before he flies off, where he says, I apologize for sexualizing you. It came out wrong or something. Like, there's a line there where he basically, like, in his moment of taunting Rick and trying to get Rick to come out of the house so that he can have his great fight with Rick Sanchez, he, with whatever adrenaline or piss flowing through his veins, right? Like, he says something to Summer about golden showers, which is interpreted a certain way. Maybe he didn't mean it in that way. I've certainly said things the wrong way before, or a way that I did not intend it, but the reaction is immediate. Jerry's like, no, she's not going to be talked to that way. Summer's offended. The whole family's offended. And they fuel that, like, Jerry going out and fighting. And then Summer revisits it numerous times throughout the online criticism and the promotion of Jerry's powers and things. You did nothing when he was talking about wanting to pee on me and all this, whatever she says. Like, he never said any of that, but she's like escalating it at point, right? And so that makes it even more tragic to me that, like, if it's genuinely something that he just happened to say but didn't even necessarily mean, that started the chain of events that results in the way that it does. I can't assume that the writers didn't think about that when they put that line in as he's flying off.
Yeah. And so I think the last thing we'll talk about on a serious note before we get into our favorite bits the best and worst episode is I mentioned it with the virtue signaling and the moral grandstanding stuff like that. Nikki Chuck earlier talking about like what'd you say? If you're a good enough person to get a power orb, you should probably be able to forgive someone for making a lewd comment after they save 30 billion lives. So I think that's part of the commentary of the episode, right? Is the first time we watch it, we know one part of the context of the situation. We as the audience, the viewer of this video, know the context of part of the situation, which is he made a lewd comment. And Jerry did the right thing. He
defended the honor of his family.
Defended the honor of his family
and his lavender bushes, if we're being honest.
Right? He did a good thing. In public opinion, Jerry did an amazing thing. And then Jerry goes on to do other amazing things. He's doing other amazing things. He's saving billions and billions of lives himself, right? And the one thing he does is, as a human, he's having a hard time accepting that Pissmaster has turned good. And so Jerry, in his humanity, which just because we have insecurities and we have flaws doesn't make us less good people. It's just that that's a part of us. But people are watching him and they're like, he's turning shit heel. And all of a sudden, this orb, which is supposed to know like the goodness of somebody's heart. That was the thing, right? Like, we give it to the good of heart. That's not really how that device works. It's the orb ship. They decide, we want this person to have it at this point in time. There's nothing special about it other than like handing it to somebody. Yeah. So going back into the context, now we watch the episode again. Now we have a greater context of what's going on in that situation. We know that this person has a family. He had a wife. He has a daughter, which, you know, that brings up a whole thing. Like, what if he did mean the golden shower thing this summer? You know, he's got a daughter. Like, why is he not respecting women? You know, all the stuff, right? But we have that extra context. Now, as viewers, we know not just the social media video that is 30 seconds of this kid getting his ass beat on the schoolyard. Now we have the extra 30 seconds at the front end that says, the reason he was kicking somebody's ass in the schoolyard is because he's been bullied. He was bullied until that moment where he lashed out, the whole context. So I think that's a big part of that. And like, we see it within the family when they're with Rick, where they're like, they're going back and forth on him, like, good job. No, what the fuck? What are you? They're like, boo. Good job. Like, they keep going back and forth, based off of what little context they have of the situation.
Yeah.
Anyway, thought a lot about this.
That's good. You've had a productive day thinking about this episode. I think that's good.
All right. Let's move on. Sorry, Travis.
Don't apologize to me. I think this is great. Couple of other notes before we get into our favorite bits. The season of Jerry continues. If this season had a taste, it'd be very Jerry forward. So I don't know. I don't know that Jerry's redeemed in this season, but he's definitely had a lot more opportunities to, I don't know, defend himself, defend his family, and get out in the limelight.
He hasn't been written as. Like, his failures are not as Jerry as they've been in previous seasons. Like, he's still failing upwards, it feels like. Never try, never fail. He was successful, but circumstances outside of his control kept him from succeeding. Same thing with, like, this orb thing. Like, the Rick stuff kind of made him fail. Let's... Just real quickly, going back to the season premiere, seeing the Cronenberg Jerry with him with such high confidence, I think there was like a little bit that maybe just, you know, foreshadowing through the season of just being like, hey, look, that's what a confident Jerry could look like. Where does it lead potentially?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they'll revisit that or how it will play out. I'm also curious if it will play out in other seasons too, or like, is this. is this a trend that's moving in a continuous direction, or is this just going to be like a wave for a little while and then we get back to more pathetic Jerry again later on? Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Also, in an area I titled callbacks much, lots of in-world, in-show callbacks starting from the very beginning. We get Mr. Nimbus again, a fan favorite, as we talked about. Very, very brief appearance. He also shows up with Tagman at the end. Dr. Wong returning again with almost no like setup, right? Like that's one of the things about all of these callbacks is if you have not been a longtime viewer of the show, very easy to miss any, if not all of these, because they are not like spoon fed to the viewer, except for maybe the strawberry smiggles, which I have represented right here on the desk as well. Yeah, we also see Glenn, their neighbor, who makes random appearances. He's not called out by name, but they're definitely keeping with continuity that Glenn lives next door. And yeah, Jerry's bees, a very offhand comment about Jerry's bees. Like, apparently he's still keeping them. So good for Jerry keeping them bees. They like the lavender, apparently.
That's right. That's right. This may or may not be a reference to the episode. But Old Man in the Seat episode from a few seasons back, yeah. where it's basically the same episode that I got my golden Rick head for, where Rick is,
I gotta get that callback in every episode too,
which is Rick is sitting on his throne in the secluded area, and he's the king of shit, and he made that area for. What was not his friend, but was really his friend, right? King of shit. Well, when they're in the bar and they're talking about the bartender's talking to the female patrons, and they're talking about the biggest pieces of shit. That resonates a lot with Rick in that moment.
Yeah,
I don't know if that is an explicit or very subtle reference to that. Yeah. That, but very.
It would have been more on the nose if he like had a crown on. But otherwise, yeah, it definitely helps you if you've watched that episode or remember that episode, it makes you have a better context of how Rick can feel that way about himself and sort of,
yeah,
what you call it?
Sure.
King of feel shit. For, yeah, I don't know. Favorite bits.
Favorite bits.
All right, let's get our favorite bits. One of my favorites, a line from early in the episode when Rick is kept out of the galactic orb ship. And he says, oh, no, first I get banned from the Nextdoor app. Now this, I would love to see Rick's Nextdoor posts. I think that'd be really funny.
Such an old white man to be complaining a Nextdoor app.
I mean, there's a few Ricks on my Nextdoor app I wouldn't mind getting banned either, so you know that's fine.
I'm glad you put this next one on there because I forgot that line, and I just love the delivery of it. When Jerry gets the orb, he doesn't know exactly what to do it, and they just stare at Rick, and he's like, you know,
like, hey, orbs and goblets are your thing.
Goblets.
Orbs and goblets, like. When has there ever been a goblet in the show? There probably has been, but yeah. Let us know where you saw the goblet at Rick and Morty Pod.
It would probably be the Slut Dragon episode if any place.
Probably. Yeah.
Okay, so this is for those Michael Crichton fans.
Another callback.
Yeah, on behalf of the Andromeda strain is what Jerry is telling Pissmaster 2. And that is a Michael Crichton novel, The Andromeda Strain. Other than the title, there's no really relevance to that scene. The Andromeda Strain is about scientists. They're like in the desert, and then like an asteroid lands, and the entire city dies.
The meteor hits.
The entire city dies except for an old man and a newborn baby. And like, why did these two people survive? And it turns out, spoiler alert for a novel that is over 30 years old, is that the old man and rapidly breathed. The baby was crying, rapidly breathing. And what the virus does is when you inhale it and then exhale it rapidly, it makes the virus inert. And so there you go. That is the plot of the Andromeda Strain on Interdimensional RSS. Welcome
to spoilers with Brandon and favorite bits. Okay. Planet of Hitlers. You just wrote Planet of Hitlers. Yeah. There were some interesting Hitlers in the bunch.
Riddle Hitler me this.
We're just letting all Hitlers in here now. Glad to see him gone. That line, you don't shoot Batman in the Batman logo. Talking about Rick being a drunk, pretty on the nose there.
Jezebel is paying for proof that Jerry is a bad person. It's her highest honor. So shout out to Jezebel. If you want to listen to the podcast.
You get a Tick reference to
the Tick was such a great cartoon when I was a kid, man. Just love it. The chair. So good. All the piss references. But
yeah. So yeah. Piss heat jokes. Seeking pissiles, piss pops.
Yeah. Oh,
no
oh.
One wants a piss pop.
Zachmo pointing out throwback to Wasp Hitler was great. Yes. Yes, for sure. I caught that on the rewatch in between my bouts of depression.
I didn't notice that. So good catch. Good catch.
Yeah. Honey is watching. Mentioned I love the orphans. Yeah. The whole orphan city.
Like ORPN was their TV channel. Like they. I just want to restate the fact that I'm 8 years old and have no idea what I'm doing. The 8 year old orphan bomb squad was a big win for me.
piss pop.
While we're talking about piss, y'all ready to piss? Just the banger written by poor Ryan Elder. I was going through looking for listener suggestions and short outs and other things. And saw the interaction that you had with Ryan Elder over on Twitter, responding to a tweet that he had posted on October 5th, saying that he wrote like the most ridiculous song ever of his career, the weirdest song he's ever had to score. And then he responded to that tweet yesterday, saying that the episode was airing. And it's just shocking to me that he wrote that song a month and a half ago, like just barely 2 months ago. Yeah,
that's what's
congrats.
That's what's shocking to you. He sent a picture of just a piece of lined notebook paper.
The lyric sheet.
His lyric sheet. He's like, this is the lyric sheet. Pee, urine, number one. He's like, this is what I do. And he's like,
I wonder if they're dropping that one on Spotify.
Ooh, I wonder. I think he said, I understated how ridiculous this song was. Anyways, shout out to Ryan Elder. Good on you for having a consistent job, writing music.
Nope. Jesus Was a Dinosaur is the latest release. The single. Yeah.
Y'all ready for piss? Bum, 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 bum. I didn't see this one. What's this chiseled dude about?
Oh, real. I kind of wish I'd grabbed a screenshot for this, but it's during the like press release where Jerry is accepting the keys to the Mitsubishi spaceship. But if you look in the background of the crowd that's watching, it's a bunch of like the weird alien models. Some of them have shown up in other episodes, but there's like all these weird aliens and then one really regular looking like handsome dude with like chiseled features and like his cell phone out like filming it. So there's just all these random aliens and then
keep talking. I'm listening to
it's
you.
It's not you. I don't think it's you.
I don't care. We stopped in the middle because
a posture check. Oh, do we get a posture check?
We got a posture check. Yeah.
I'm the worst of these.
Yeah.
I'm not even in frame if I sit up straight.
No. Oh, you gotta kind of like turn your angle yourself a little bit. Okay. So I didn't see a chisel dude, but right on.
Yeah, I'll find it.
I did like the Piss Me I'm Irish shirt that one dude was wearing. I may not buy that, but I do have this Manscaped shirt, so it feels like the same thing. Rick getting flushed from the piss suit. Very, very, yeah.
Look at that guy in the background. Right inside my ring light.
Oh. Man, is that Elder? Yeah, that looks like...
I don't know. I don't know if it's supposed to be someone, but my camera's not focusing.
Yeah, because that's a very... very strange detail.
Yeah, I feel like it's supposed to be someone. Because it's a bunch of random aliens. There is one human in like a spacesuit, and then there's that dude. So, I don't know. I thought he just really stood out to me.
Yeah, and they are standing. He looks familiar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's Scott Martyr. All right. Piss Me, I'm Irish. All the Flamingo Dad puns. You're still doing posture checks. His flamingo fam, when he takes off and says lawn flamingo. I just loved all of those bits. Those were great to me.
Yeah, there are some various other moments in the episode that I do think are funny, and I can't remember them right now, but, I know we didn't list a few, so you let us know. Unity.
Yeah, let us know. Do the homework for us, Unity.
Which ones you loved. Let's go into our best and worst parts. Last week, we talked about, Travis talked about how he loves the best worst parts because he doesn't know which one is the best or worst part. I didn't read yours, so I'm reversing it on you.
Yes.
So this first one is mine. The Piss Master shit-kicking scene is way worse on rewatch.
Yeah.
That's not a best or worst part. It's just a very, again, like going back briefly, it's a context shifting aspect of it, which kind, other than make me feel bad, like it is a very intelligent way of having that scene go.
It gets worse and worse on each rewatch, I think, maybe, that scene.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's very kind of ingenious the way that goes with the whole episode, but it's also the worst part because I don't know that I want to rewatch that scene anymore because it is
very long, and I think it's deliberately long and drawn out as well.
Yeah,
to kind of comment on the uncomfortableness of it
legitimately makes me sad, and I teared up a little bit for this piss master dude. Even talking about it earlier, I don't know what is in my brain that is triggering things, but I'm like, there's something there. I should figure that out. So
try therapy.
If anybody knows any therapists that want to talk to me about that,
Dr. Wong,
let me know.
Hit up. Here in the best and worst parts, the galactic orb ship in general. Where do you think I'm landing on this one, Brandon?
Down.
It's a worst for me. It's a worst for me. I don't find them terribly interesting. It's not a collection of characters that I expect to see on any t-shirts or, will really think much of outside of, you know, any direct callbacks to this episode. I didn't think they were really endearing or anything. I think like as the show goes on, they become less and less of a noble and, you know, good organization, and they just become sort of like a gag that doesn't really land for me.
Yeah.
I would
concur with that. Even like the post-credit scene, and I think maybe that's the point of it, is that they're not particularly interesting or special, that they're just looking for other people to pull into their organization. And then when they talk about Mr. Nimbus, which is a highlight, of course, Mr. Nimbus shaking his wang is always a highlight. But like, yeah, I already reached out to his reps and they say he's really busy. And
like he's too good for their orb ship.
And yeah. and the one guy's like, "Oh, like we don't have stuff going on." Like that's the point, is no, that they are uninteresting.
You don't. But I will counteract my worst part with my best part, which I'm going to give credit to the sound mixing in this episode. Particularly a couple of effects, audio effects. One being the sound of the piss hitting the windows in the appearance of Piss Master.
Yeah.
They just perfectly capture that sound. I don't know what Foley artist was involved, but the sound of a stream of liquid hitting a pane of glass, it's very specific, but they definitely went the extra mile to make sure to capture it there. And then also the sound of the microwave turning on in the other room.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have the volume turned up, you might miss it. But it's spot on. It sounds great. So kudos to whoever mixed the sound on this episode, because you did a great job.
Yeah, I agree with the piss on windows, because when I heard that, I'm like, man, that's exactly the sound that needs to be made with any kind of liquid, like splat, like when you're like washing, say like washing the car or something, or you go through a car wash and you hear like the on the, they nailed it. I wish I could observe them doing that in their natural Foley habitat on the planet of Foley artists. Anyway, those are our best and worst parts. I'm sure you have your own. Please shoot those to us, or don't shoot them to us, but or just join our Twitch chat weekly and let us know. But yeah, I think that should do it for this episode. Travis, do you have anything else that you want to say?
No, I was just trying to find.
I do have one more thing to say, but
I was scrubbing through the credits to see if I could actually find the name of the person that did the sound editing, but I'm having a hard time. So kudos to whoever you are. I'm sure Ryan knows you. Have Ryan Elder tell you congratulations. Listeners, suggestions and short outs is the only other thing I was going to say, unless you have something else you're holding on to.
No, I'll save the last thing for saying goodbye. So.
Okay. Well, a big shout out this week to everybody over in the Twitch chat. Honey is watching, first time catching the stream live, first time chatter. Great input, great insights. Thank you so much for being part of the show live. Nikki Chuck, Zach Moe, I think we have a couple other folks in here too, but just really, really great conversation happening in the chat throughout the episode. We did not obviously have the opportunity to get into all of it during the podcast, but we really appreciate you guys hanging out and participating. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to focusing our attention directly towards you in the Twitch only post show happening right after we finish this episode. So stick around. And thanks to everybody that follows us over on Twitch.
Right after this episode. The very, very last thing I want to say, Travis, is, hey, all of you listeners out there, thank you so much for listening. You're all the best. And if anybody out there needs any help or any thoughts or knows anybody that may need help, so they put this number at the end there, 988 if you're in the US. You can text or call for the crisis hotline. So
that's right.
I want to make sure I put that out there, because it is important. So
that's right.
That is all we have for today, tonight, and until next week when we talk about King Mortor's court. I'm Brandon.
I'm Travis.
And we will see you then. Goodbye.
Sports Brain.